WYSL. The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Thank you guys so much for joining us here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and I'm in the WYSL studios with Bob Savage.
Hello, all.
So, you know, over the weekend, I re-acclimating myself to the time zone change, trying to get my my sleep readjusted, and I realized something was going on that I knew what was happening. I just kind of forgot about it. And then once I realized it was happening, I realized it's like kind of like prevalent, like all over the place, and that's that the government shut down.
And, you actually noticed that. What was the evidence you had of that?
Just posts on social media from news outlets. That's the only way I would have known.
I was just going to say. I mean, there's words about the great government shutdown, but were there any actual consequences to you?
None that I saw. So I started kind of, reaching out, talking with people, doing a little research on this, and seeing. What impact has the government shutdown had on the people around me? And interestingly enough, there's a lot of people that just have no idea at all that the government is shut down right now, the federal government specifically. Most people, I don't think I had a single person that thought that there was any impact to them. And they didn't even really realize. They're like, oh, I thought the government was going to shut down. I didn't realize it did shut down. So that's the thing I kind of want to talk about here in the show is we're on week three of the government shutdown, week three, and there's no zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, shutdownmageddon is kind of a disappointment so far.
Yeah, so far. And so I decided I would check out and see, okay, well, what parts of the government are shut down, which parts aren't, so we could talk about this a little bit, because the way I think, always, when it comes to terms of government, I'm a small government guy. I am. I'm a individual liberties, small government kind of guy. And so I want to know, well, yeah, what's shut down? Maybe we don't need to turn it back on. And so I did a little bit of research. And the thing that the media is making a really big deal about right now is this is coming up on it's nearing the length of time where they would say that this is the longest ever government shutdown. I think we've got like 2 or 4 more days, something like that, and then this will be the longest one in U.S. history.
Yeah, I think this one is, I think we're tied for third longest now.
Right now? Yeah, yeah. So, and that's the other thing. The government, this seems to be becoming common, the government shutting down. I remember, I'm trying to remember the last time. It's happened twice that I recall in the last few years. So this is almost becoming like a political stunt is what people are turning into. But I think that the reason the government officials or the elected officials are getting nervous about this is people are going to realize that we don't need so much government. And where does that leave them?
Well, yeah. And it's usually the fulcrum that's used is about the spending plan, the budget.
Yeah.
The lack of budget.
Correct. Yeah. 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 It's interesting to me how every year our budget increases along with our debt.
Well, and the reason for that is that let's just imagine a scenario where you're on your way home, your cell phone goes off, and your wife says, hey, listen, stop and get some bread and eggs on the way home. So you go into the grocery store and you pick up, the bread, and you pick up the eggs, and then you pick up the a cowboy songbook. and you pick up the trash can lids and the you pick up, I don't know, an F-16 fighter and maybe a few nuclear tactical weapons and a farm program. In other words, you have to buy one of everything that's in the store.
Yeah.
That's essentially the budgeting process at the federal level. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's absolutely ridiculous. So things that are still running right now are mail, U.S. Post Office. Now, it's really interesting why the post office is running. They're self-funded. They actually provide their own funding. They're funded independently of the federal government because they sell stamps. They sell product. And so they have their own funding. That's how they operate. Law enforcement is going on with partial funding. So the interesting thing about law enforcement is some of the people in law enforcement are actually working without a paycheck. So law enforcement is operational. I think it said about 85% of them are getting paid. So about 15% of law enforcement on the federal level. So think like FBI, certain investigations. These people are working without a paycheck, but the majority of them are paid. Our U.S. military is totally exempt from this process. So they're getting all the same funding that they should be getting. And they should even be getting their paychecks on time. So the interesting thing about this is some of the funded areas of the government, even though they're funded, their paychecks aren't necessarily coming on time because the government's really inefficient, I guess, and they can't figure out how to deliver paychecks on time. Border Patrol, the majority of Border Patrol is exempt from the shutdown. So they're running, they're funded. Social Security is funded. So that's happening. Medicaid is funded. Medicare is funded. And veterans benefits are also funded. So those are the areas that are not impacted. There may be some others, but those were the ones I could find off the bat.
Thank you. The light just went on because I just got my Medicare bill because I'm so darn old, right?
Yeah.
And my check hasn't been cashed from last time. But they sent me a bill saying that there's a past due amount, but they've had this check.
Huh.
I'll bet you they're not depositing it.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. But they are funded, so, and they should be operating. But some of the things, they are going slower. So, yeah, that would make sense. But let's talk about some of the things that are maybe in limbo, some of the things that are maybe not funded or are kind of in this goofy situation where they can be funded, but only for a little while. So the one that everybody talks about constantly is the national parks and museums. This is the one that's probably most impacted. So the news talks about the most because they say, oh, you can't access the park anymore. Now, the thing...
Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about a park, especially our national parks, is I get that they want to have an information booth there, you know, that sort of thing. But parks in general should be no different than the forest. You as a person should just be able to go there.
Right.
They shouldn't be barricading these places and saying, now that the government's shut down, you can't walk through the park. I think that's just totally ridiculous. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the parks later because there's some other interesting stuff going on. And museums, I understand a museum. Okay, you got, you know, security area and stuff. Somebody should man that. You got lights. So some parks are closed. Some museums are closed. Or they're operating on really minimal staff. Now, when I hear that, and I hear that you're operating on minimal staff, I start to think about government bloat right off the bat. That's just where my mind goes. I just
wonder why you'd go there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I immediately think, well, how much staff does it really take? I mean, if we're operating on this minimal, you know, the skeleton crew, bare bones staff, all these little, you know, visual words that the media starts using, I wonder, how bloated is it normally? And that's where I start thinking. Now, I couldn't find any information. Nobody's going to publish, this is how much overhead we should have versus, you know. So,
a bloat guide.
Yeah, yeah. So there's no guide. But you really start thinking, as you notice the things they're shutting down or operating on minimal staff, you go, well, can they normally operate on minimal staff? How minimal is it? Is it, you know, is this possible? Is where... where does that chunk of my paycheck go?
And if they can operate on minimal staff, why do we have the maximal staff?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. This one is really interesting to me. The next one is the federal courts. So the federal courts appear to be actually impacted by the shutdown. They have about 1 week of funding left. So I don't know how that works.
How much does it cost to run courts? I mean, does the justice tank run dry? I mean, do they have to?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, you figure judges get paid a whole lot of money. They're definitely among the highest elected paid positions. You've got security staff, you've got attorneys. Some of the public attorneys have already said that, they want to delay all their cases until funding comes in. So, yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about what else is being impacted by the government shutdown here on Radio Free New York.
This is Dom Genova, owner of Genesee Valley Motors in Avon, your no-nonsense car dealer. Well, we're your no-nonsense truck dealer, too, selling Rams and Fords up to the mightiest that they make. And we have a shop with Master Techs open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, even Saturday, so you can get your truck serviced when it's not billing hours for you. You may not be used to that. Visit RochesterWorkTrucks.com. That's RochesterWorkTrucks.com.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Free New York. I want to give a shout out to everybody who's listening online, whether you're on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, YouTube. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here on
Periscope.
Periscope, yeah.
It's like LGBTQ. It's like every time you're here, another service gets added.
Yeah.
What is Periscope?
It's like the video service that integrates with YouTube or Twitter to provide. So you can watch
it's like
on
a YouTube
Twitter.
For Twitter?
Or? Yeah, kind of. So it kind of works together with that. But I see we've got, you know, Philip and Selena on Periscope. We've got Michelle and Nate on Facebook, along with a whole bunch of others, Ross. So, guys, thank you so much. If you have questions or a comment, you want to let me know what you're thinking, give us a call here at the station. That's 585-346-3000. Or I am checking comments on the live streams as well. So you can post your comment or your question. I'll check it periodically and try to answer it for you throughout the show. So before we took the break, we were talking about the government shutdown and how a lot of people don't realize it's even happening. It is happening, but, you know, most people are largely just not impacted by it whatsoever. The media is really pushing it like this really big, bad, bad thing. And people around me anyways are not feeling that at all. So we started talking about the things that are funded, which I'll just run through real quick for anybody that missed the first segment. That's your U.S. Post Office, law enforcement, military, Border Patrol, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and your veterans benefits. All of that's funded. Then we start talking a little bit about the things in limbo, which are things that are maybe partially funded, partially closed down, or just not funded at all. So the first thing we talked about is national parks and museums. Those are either partially funded or not funded at all. Some of them are starting to close. Some of them are starting to operate on a skeleton crew, which means they can operate, they can run, but maybe they've got a bloated budget. Maybe they're overusing what they should be. And hopefully we'll find a way to explore that. I'm not sure that anybody's going to be so welcoming to us, though, to come and check out and see how bloated their budget is and their staff is. But the thing that we started talking about right before the break was that the federal courts are saying that they've only got about a week's worth of funding left. So that to me was interesting. That means they must have a bucket of money, essentially. And as they're rolling out paychecks and whatever other expenses, they're taking away from that bucket of money. And they had some left when the government shut down. And now they've made it these 3 weeks, and they've got about, what they're saying, a week's worth left.
Well, this is not a good precedent, no pun intended, because we're talking about the courts. Because, I mean, if we start having all these federal agencies sandbagging, sandbagging money, just imagine what that's going to cost.
Well, and the thing that I don't know or understand, and maybe somebody can call in if you know the answer to this and let us know, or comment online, is do the federal courts, if they issue, say, a fine, does that go into that bucket? Or does that go somewhere else that gets distributed, you know, at another time or place? So, for example, if they close up a court case and some company gets some fine for, I don't know, some bad pollution or something they did, is that going to refill their bucket? Is the federal court going to be able to operate another few weeks? Or does it not matter? And their bucket's empty when it's empty, and until it gets passed by the federal government, they shut down. I don't really know. The other thing I couldn't find 100% is, once they run out of money, are they going to continue to operate without paychecks? Which I think the answer is yes. I think that they will be in the similar situation as like the TSA, where there are people working for the TSA who have to show up for work, but they're not receiving a paycheck. So that was something interesting I wanted to share with you guys. But if anybody knows the answer about if the federal court collects money, if that goes into their bucket and extends out their funding or not, I'd be interested in knowing.
Well, look, I mean, eventually they'll get paid. They're not just going to get stiffed.
Although I was reading that not all of the employees are guaranteed to get the back pay. So I don't know what the requirements were. I couldn't find it. That's the problem with big government. Our government is so big. It's so complex that there's all these like little rules and tricks and guidelines and exceptions that it's really hard to find a straightforward answer to some of this stuff, because it's just – it's so convoluted across the board. It needs to go back to something simple. You know, one-page document. Yeah, you get paid or you don't get paid. This is the process done. Unfortunately, it's not like that. This next government agency we're all familiar with, it's probably most people's least favorite agency. We talked about them a little bit on Friday, and that is the IRS. So the IRS is only running at 12% capacity right now. Just enough to collect your taxes, chase you, but not give you your refund. So
God's chillin's got to have priorities.
Yeah. Yep. So right now the IRS is running, like I said, at 12% capacity. They're running just enough to still pursue people who owe taxes, to still accept taxes, but they said that they have shut down the part of the IRS that issues refunds. Now, I imagine there must be other things that the other 78% of the IRS does. Because if 78% of the IRS does nothing more than issue refunds to us, maybe we should just fix a few things and you know, it feels like terrible bloat all over again. Why can't we automate that? Why can't we reduce the footprint of government? We're talking about 78% is gone, and they're still doing really the major functions, which are collecting taxes and hunting down people who owe taxes. Now, this last one that we're going to talk about is the one that the news is making a really, really big deal about. And they haven't I talked in the last show about how the media tries to leave out facts and information to skew things a certain way, to hype people up, to, you know, run things on fear and fear mongering. So I found some articles today where people, or the media, was like, oh, there's not going to be food for poor people anymore. And that's essentially what some of these articles were. They were like, oh, food stamps are gone now. SNAP, child nutrition programs, they're totally gone. And I was like, is that true? Because if that's true, I would think that the media would be covering people showing up saying that there's no food in their home and, you know, do some B-roll of an empty fridge and, you know, a mother with her children and they're crying because there's no food. And that's not the case. But what is happening is food stamps are funded through January. And the other child nutrition programs are funded through February. So I would venture to bet that people in that situation would start to feel that piece of the government shutdown by the end of January, maybe mid-February. I read a lot about just self-reliance. And one of the things that I read recently was that the average household in America has less than 3 days worth of food in it. So that doesn't leave you a whole lot of time if you live that type of lifestyle, that once you run out of food, you've only got a couple of days.
Well, there will also be, I'm sure, if this really becomes a dire situation, there will be an emergency appropriation. Nobody in the administration is going to stand by and let people starve.
Exactly. And that's something that I want to get to. Actually, why don't I skip ahead to that, and then I'll come back to the next piece. So as I'm going through and I'm reading about this, and I start to see more and more news articles come through, I saw on Facebook, I think it was Channel 13, they posted an article about SNAP benefits and other benefits might be impacted in the future by the shutdown. And I started reading through the comments because I like to get an idea of how the people, online across our nation, but in our local area, what they feel about this sort of thing. And the first thing I noticed right away, it was just a lot of bantering back and forth. You know, you've got people posting things like, well, just go get a job, it won't be a problem. And then on the other side, people saying, well, Trump just wants poor people to die, and just like left and right, back and forth, fighting. Basically things that were just insults, arguments, no type of any type of solution. And then I saw this lady, Jenna, make a post that kind of changed the direction of the conversation. And she said, very similar to what you just said, I doubt that's going to happen. You know, just right out of that.
Well, just look, thinking. I mean, politicians do have a sense of self-preservation.
Yeah.
I mean, they may want like to hurl around the invective and do a lot of posturing. But at the end of the day, they don't want to be blamed for people starving.
Yeah, exactly. So this lady kind of came in with a level head. She wasn't sitting there just absorbing all the mainstream media. And she had her solution, which she was like, I doubt this will happen. But if this does happen, I volunteer to match the funds of a family and I will have food for them. And that was her idea. This was her saying, you know what? I live within my means. I have the ability to help somebody else. I'll do that. So she
matched the fund, or if they have nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have nothing
for a family that has like, so what she was saying is she has enough money herself
to match what they would get from government.
One family's government benefits.
Okay, got it.
Yep. Which, so then all of a sudden people are like, oh yeah, maybe this won't happen. But if it does happen, I have the ability to make the change I want. We don't need government. So, there's some comments, oh, that's such an awesome idea. And she just responds with, well, we all have the potential to be awesome. So then later down the comments, the next person, you know what? I want to do the same. Do you know how SNAP works? I want to see how much they receive. I'll sponsor a family too. And then you go down and they start talking about it. And the next person, I'll do the same. I'm 100% with you. And as you go through, you see more people realizing, yeah, you know what? We don't need government. We can just help our neighbors ourselves.
What a concept.
Yeah, we can be engaged in our community ourselves.
The way it was until the 1940s.
Exactly. So to me, this was amazing. This was great because I saw this community, and this is all local. I think this is right here in Rochester. You saw the bantering back and forth and the people looking at government as like, this source of something. and people arguing over, you know, whether or not that was a good something. And then you see some people go, yeah, you know what? We used to do this ourselves. We used to be able to be a part of our community. We used to be able to help our community. Why can't we do that today? So this is kind of the first step, the first seed, I think, in people seeing how positive this government shutdown can be, because people can now see that it's okay to be a part of your community. It's okay to help your community. You can do that as a volunteer. You don't need government to do it for you. So when we come back, I'm going to give you guys a few more examples of volunteerism that is resulting from this government shutdown, and how by the time it's done, hopefully Americans realize that we don't need a big government. We can just help each other with volunteerism. So we'll be back here in a moment on Radio Free New York.
WYSL 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM West, and News Power 1040 AM.
You're listening to the voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
At University Eye Specialists, I see many patients who suffer from dry, irritated, or itchy eyes. Sometimes these symptoms are often due to severe dry eye. Over-the-counter eye drops often help, but sometimes dry eye may require treatment with prescription medication. Dry eye is a very treatable medical condition that should be taken very seriously. The health of your eyes is very important to us. Please feel free to call any one of our local offices for an appointment.
In America, we are living longer, healthier lives. The longer we live, the more likely we are to develop eye conditions such as glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic eye disease. If you are over the age of 40, it's important to have a thorough eye examination in order to identify vision-threatening conditions at an early stage. At University Eye, we have the technology and experience to screen for and to treat glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy. At University Eye, your vision is our mission.
Phone 1-800-724-0938.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
Welcome back to Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and I'm here in the WYSL studio with Bob Savage.
Ahoy, mateys.
So just before the break, I was talking about some of the positivity that's coming out of this government shutdown, and talking about the story that just something I saw this morning of people deciding that they would volunteer to help their community with the services that government was providing them. Now, this is specifically SNAP benefits, food, nutrition benefits for children. And somebody suggested that, you know what, I doubt that the government's going to let people starve. I doubt that's going to happen. But say it does happen, I will volunteer to match funds of those benefits to help a family in need in my community. And then more people jumped on board and more people were like, yeah, yeah, you know what? That's a great idea. This isn't the only instance where this happened. So this was a local instance, but all across the nation. So in the beginning of this radio show, I talked about the national parks being shut down and how silly I think this is, because it's literally a park. It's a place where you can walk through, and it shouldn't require so much maintenance that it has to be shut down so you can't enjoy it anymore. Well, what's been happening is volunteers have started coming out and helping clean up the parks and helping maintain the parks and helping run the parks, people without paychecks who think that the parks are important to them and who want to keep them well maintained. They're just going out. They're just doing it. They're seeing that it's public property, which in turn is the property of everybody in the community. And they've decided, yeah, I'll take responsibility for this. And one of the people on YouTube actually over the break commented in, Albert, saying he saw in news that the Libertarian Party in D.C. actually went and cleaned up the national park. And I forget, I've got the name somewhere where they went, or the National Mall. That's where they went. They went to the National Mall and they went and they cleaned up. They picked up all the garbage there. They tidied the place up. They went through, and there's, I think, a 6-minute video segment on the news that you can go watch about that exact thing.
And by the way, as long as we're on the subject, if we are in this crisis, the situation where, you know, there's not enough money to perform the usual functions of government, why can't we all do our part? If you go down, you know, there's a supply side to this equation as well. If you go to a national monument, you go to a park, you go to a museum, don't throw trash around.
Yeah.
Do your part. Yeah. Right? I mean, that doesn't cost anything.
Yep. No, it's true. And the stuff they were picking up, too, some of it was really gross. I mean, they're picking up bottles with urine in it and everything.
And use diapers and all that. Come on, you know, people. You can do better than that.
Yeah. But they did it. And they weren't paid. They just recognized this is community space. This is public space. And we can volunteer. And I forget, in the video, one of the people who was there with the Libertarian Party cleaning up the National Mall, they said, yeah, you know, the government can't figure out how to fund this, and we're just going to do it because the government's not good at what it does anyways, you know? And it's very true.
It was like there was a government shutdown. I don't know. I think it was back during the last Obama term, and they shut down the World War II Memorial on the National Mall.
Yeah.
And here they are. They're putting up barricades. It's an open space.
Yep, I remember.
And they're putting up barricades, keeping these 80-year-old guys out. And the 80-year-old guys just came in and shoved the park police aside and disposed of the barriers, just stacked them on the side. So it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It didn't cost them any money for the elderly guys who've served their country to go and see their memorial.
Not just that, but I bet you they paid somebody to put the barriers up.
Of course they did.
So, you know, it's just, it's awful. Just the way that it's thought of is really wrong. So we're seeing this now with parks. So school clubs are cleaning up and maintaining parks. Motorcycle clubs, activist groups, they're taking on the responsibility of taking care of these parks. Museums are being ran by volunteers. Same thing. People are invested in it. It's a part of their community. It's something that's important to them. They've decided to take that up and go ahead and volunteer to make this happen. So I actually think that that this government shutdown is bringing the community together. And I think that if it continues on, that it's actually going to be a really positive thing for a lot of communities. Now, there can be some bad stuff that comes up. Absolutely. I'm sure that there's going to be something, and the news will make it even way worse than it is. But I want us to think for a second and realize that what we're seeing from this government shutdown, the positive side of this, is why the United States was so successful to begin with. We had small, limited government, which is essentially what this shutdown is giving us. We had people, when they were in need, the community or a community organization like a church would step up, help those people in need. Whereas today it's kind of switched to, oh, they need help, well, the government will do it. No, it's the community, it's the organizations in the community taking care of each other.
Yeah, you've zeroed in on a very important point, and that is historically a major difference between American society and, let's say, the Western European democracies, because they just sit and wait for government to take whatever action is necessary. And if you check it, that's what government has been trying to educate everybody. They've been trying to condition everyone in the United States to be dependent on government, just like in France and Germany and Belgium.
Yeah. So this is one of these things that I think Americans might get back out of this shutdown. People used to have a sense of belonging and wanting to provide and have responsibility in their community. It gave them purpose. And a lot of times when I talk about purpose, I'm reminded of when Larry and I would talk about what we would call public suicides.
That would be Larry Sharp.
Larry Sharp,
your former running mate.
Yep, who ran for governor of New York last election cycle. We would talk about school shootings and the three major contributors to these public suicides. And they were lack of purpose, lack of community, and loneliness. And that's what you get out of having large government, having the society that we've been going towards. When everything is done for you by the government, you have a lack of purpose. you have no need for your community, and therefore the community begins to break down, which is what we've seen year after year as government continues to get larger. And once you've lost your community and you've lost your purpose, you become lonely. So now what we're seeing is a reversal of that. Just after 3 short weeks of government being shrunk down, we're seeing people reinvest in their community. We're seeing them. They now have purpose. I'm going to be the one that goes and volunteers to help this museum to keep it running because that's important to me, or to take care of this park or whatever it may be. People are having purpose. They're having community. I think it's actually like a really, really positive thing. And people are now thinking about self-sufficiency and self-reliance, which to me has always been important. But now I'm seeing the people who maybe just thought that that was goofy nonsense, maybe, only for people that are into conspiracies or something like that. Now it's like, oh, you mean I don't need big government? I can just be self-reliant, self-sufficient. Like, eh, this isn't so bad. It kind of feels good. So I really, really hope that what this turns into is a thirst for small government. That's really what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that people enjoy their community, enjoy the purpose, enjoy the responsibility, and decide that, yeah, that small government wasn't so bad. I kind of like that.
It's interesting that you use the term enjoy the responsibility. And, you know, that's responsibility is the flip side of liberty. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that has distinguished American society from so many other societies in the world is our self-reliance and our love of liberty, which, of course, there's a cost to everything that you do if it's worthwhile. But it's not a cost that anybody who's a thinking person should reject. Because if, you know, the responsibility isn't that hard, and actually, if you are responsible, you find that makes life easier and sweeter because more good things come your way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that being responsible for something gives you ownership. And once you have ownership in something, whether it's a job, a process, a something, no matter how small it is, that actually makes people happier. Especially when they work on it, they can see the fruits of their labor, and they don't have to be paid to be happy. You know, we certainly have a society where a lot of people think that happiness and money are one and the same. So they work really, really hard to earn a bunch of money, a lot of which the government takes anyways. But the little bit of money that you do have left, you know, you go buy that thing or whatever that you think is going to make you happy, when you find, especially when you talk with people who are maybe extremely wealthy and you ask them what makes them happy, it's volunteering at that local charity that they enjoy. They don't get paid for it at all. They don't make a penny off of it at all. But what makes them happy is having ownership and responsibility in something that they see makes a difference.
Yeah, it's not about stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not. So
stuff is a trap.
Yeah. Oh, stuff is always a trap. It's always a trap. And you know, with today's day and age, technology changes every day. So you'll never be able to get all the stuff, anyways. But what you can get is you can get happiness in investing in somebody else, investing in your community, and that can just be with your time. That can just be with your time. And so this just kind of makes me happy, you know, seeing this. This gives me some additional hope.
Hope for the future.
Yep, yeah, hope for the future for sure. I'm sure there's going to be some people that disagree with me and think this government shutdown needs to stop. I would just ask you, What's it doing to you by it being closed right now? And is there truly a negative impact? I'm sure somebody's negatively impacted by it. I know there are people that aren't getting a paycheck, but they're working right now. That's certainly a negative impact.
I don't want to make light of it. I mean, it's not something to mock the federal employees about, because they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Nope.
But it is indicative of where we've landed here. It's not a good place for us to be.
No, I agree. So I'm in the camp right now, and I know somebody asked me about the government shutdown maybe 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I said that I didn't have strong feelings either way, because I kind of even felt it was bad, because a lot of times the paychecks, they get deferred and then they get an additional percentage on top of that. So government shutdowns tend to be very expensive, and we're already deep, deep in debt. And I still hold those feelings. I can't stand not being financially responsible. It's one of those things that really, really irks me, and I still have that feeling. But I'm starting to see some just good positive sides to it, and I kind of feel myself feeling like, you know, I hope this extends out a bit longer, and I hope that more people feel the same way and become more vested in their community, help their neighbors, take on responsibility, and realize that small government's not such a bad thing.
The voice of Andrew C. Hollister, the host of... Help me out here. Radio Free New York. Sorry, there we go. Senior moment there. On the WISL stations, we'll be right back.
From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod waterproof footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has what the big pet chain stores will never have. Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard-to-find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply. West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
Welcome back to Radio Free New York. We are here talking about the government shutdown and just all the positive things that I'm seeing out of the government shutting down, people coming together with their community, people building purpose, people engaging in volunteerism and charity, and really just people seeing that they can actually do the things that government has been providing, and seeing that they can live without it. So that to me is just a really, really positive thing that I'm seeing out of this shutdown. And it makes me feel like it should go longer. It does.
Well, not only are we getting things done that government used to do for us, maybe we're learning that government is doing things for us that we shouldn't have.
Yes. Yeah. And things that we just don't need them to do. So I agree 100%. And speaking of bloated government that poorly uses our money, Where to start? Well, let's start with Governor Cuomo. And this is a short little piece, but I happened to see it over the weekend, and it just twisted me up inside a little bit. Governor Cuomo posted on his Facebook, and when I say Governor Cuomo, I mean whoever his media person is that thought this was a good idea, posted this video about how great and amazing New York is. Now, this video is something that us taxpayers paid for, and certainly the person who posted this paid for this as well. And in this video, they feature drone footage of the new Mario Cuomo Bridge.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes. And I'm not going to lie. It looks like a really nice bridge.
Oh, that's cool. I've seen it. I've seen it in various different stages of construction, because we go to New York a lot.
Okay.
And I drive them crazy, the rest of the people in my family, because I like to take the train. I like to take our time and just, there's no security the train. And we got a nice new train station in Rochester. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly an improvement over what we had before. But it is not a fast way to go to New York.
No,
it
takes like 8+ hours or something.
7 hours, to 8, depending on everything's running on time. But it's very interesting. Yeah. And it's also very instructive, because you get a look at what has happened to our state. Hmm. You get a tour of the empty factories.
You get a
tour of the small towns along the Mohawk Valley that are just kind of moldering away, rusting into the landscape.
Yeah.
You do go right by the Tappan Zee Bridge, which, or what's left of it.
Yeah.
And now the, you know, the Governor Mario Bridge. And, I mean, it's cool. Okay. I mean, it's very, very streamlined, very state of the art.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is the first time that I'd actually seen it, you know, and I didn't see it in person. I saw this footage and I was like, yeah, that's actually a pretty nice bridge. But then I thought, you know what? I paid for that bridge, and you did too. And I don't know if I'll ever use this bridge or not. Maybe I will. You know, I don't know. But it was an extremely expensive bridge. And then they go on to say, as these thoughts are happening in my mind as I'm watching this, they literally say, oh, I forget the exact word. I think it was like the most expensive investment in infrastructure in the nation.
Well,
that's
a liberal Democrat for it, because that's exactly what they do. They measure success by cost.
Yeah, by dollars.
The more it costs, the better it is.
Yep, yep. And that's literally, I was thinking, like, man, I just bought this bridge, and then they just slam me with it. It's the most expensive bridge you'll ever buy.
So, it gives new meaning to the phrase, if you really believe that, I got a bridge I can sell.
Yeah, exactly. And then I sat there and I was thinking after this complete, I'm like, you know what else I paid for? I paid for the drone footage too.
I had to pay to be told how great my investment is.
And I paid for the video that was produced for that drone footage. And it just started like going through all this stuff. And I was like, wow, government spends our money. Every level of government spends our money just so poorly. You know, the money that comes out of our paychecks that goes into this video, which who knows how many thousands and thousands of dollars were spent on this video to promote how many millions, if not billions, we spent this last year.
I mean, you know, you don't even know where to start. I mean, you go up I-390 into Henrietta, and underneath the power lines there, north of the thruway, there we have what I call the I Love New York bath mat.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
On the side of this, it's like a little embankment that goes underneath the power lines. And they put this thing up there, and it really does look like a bath mat. Yep. It's probably, what, 25 feet in diameter, maybe 30?
It's pretty large,
It's pretty big, and it's the I Heart New York logo. But what? And somebody asked, one of the TV stations has a... an investigative feature. And they asked, what's with this? And they said, well, it's very good to promote tourism. Tourism, we're already here.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And it cost, the I Love New York bath mat cost, I don't know, in the grand scheme of things in New York State, not that much. I think it was 10 grand or 12 grand.
Yeah, I thought it was like 13 or 15. But yeah, somewhere in
something
that.
Something in that. It didn't cost 100 grand.
No.
But it wasn't, it was a waste of money.
Yeah.
Whether it was $5 or $5,000 or $50,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to the repetitiveness of our government spending money on things that, once again, if the community wanted that, I bet you if there was a group of people that are like, yeah, you know, we really want this I Love New York, like you call it, bath mat, you know, off of 390.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a freaking bath mat.
Yeah, yeah. If they wanted that, they would say, okay, let's go to Home Depot. I bet you they will have spent less than $400 if they made it. You know, volunteers made it. They'd go to Home Depot. They'd pull some money. They'd get the supplies. People would have the stuff left over in their garage, their shed. And they would just get together and they would do it. I think the majority of it's like mulch anyways. You know, it's like, I'm not sure what the material is, but when I drive by, it looks like just multicolored mulch.
Yeah, it's some kind of, it's like a carpeting. It's like a very heavy duty, indoor outdoor, but whatever. I mean, it's just stupid. Why do we need it? It's just evidence of irresponsible spending.
Yeah, yeah. So that to me, when I saw that video, was just, it just felt like such a slap in the face to every New Yorker in this state. You know, we're spending the absolute most amount of money on projects and we should be proud of it. And then we have to spend even more money to promote it and create propaganda to say how good it is that we're spending money.
It's like the hundreds of millions of dollars that we spend on TV ads.
Yeah. Yep.
About tourism in New York.
Yep. And Startup New York. We spent $72 million promoting Startup New York. And by the time we were in year four, I think of it, we had created less than 100 jobs. You know, so $72 million buys you 100 jobs. That's, you know, so yeah. State government, big bloated government, whether it's federal, state, I don't care if it's your town, your county, it's just bad. It's just really bad.
Well, it leads to totalitarian tactics like what's going to happen with, I mean, I don't want to get too far into, you probably don't want to divert into gun control, but we're going to have a whole slate of gun control measures, and it's not even going to go through the legislative process. They're sticking it in the appropriations. It's going to be part of the budgeting.
Yeah, well, I've seen that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just another thing. I mean, we could go even deeper into I found out recently that the way our assembly districts are created here in New York doesn't even follow our own state constitution. You're supposed to have one assembly person per county in New York. So it's more representative. And then if you have larger populations, you get like a few extra. It's kind of like House of Representatives type setup. That's what our state constitution has. And they just bypassed it.
Yeah. The parties want gerrymandering because yep. they get to hang out of the constituents that way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's, man, we could talk for hours and hours just on that, just on gun control. I was going to, you know, jump into talking about Cuomo's inaugural speech, but there's nowhere near enough time. So I'm going to switch gears to talk about Ben Wassel real quick.
Oh, yeah. Update. Yep. Update him. Tell him what the case is about.
Yes. Quick. So Ben Wassel is a military veteran. He is 90% combat disabled, and he served multiple tours while he was in the military. Now, I bring all this up because many people would consider that a pretty good record, somebody who served their country, given at a very high cost, being 90% disabled. And he was also the first man made an example of by Cuomo's SAFE Act. And Larry and I, Larry Sharp, would often talk about, and I still talk about this every day and before we ran the campaign, about how the SAFE Act hurts our veterans at such a greater percentage than everybody else. And this is no this isn't how they normally get hurt. Normally they get hurt in the way that they decide not to get help and end up committing suicide because they're afraid of, you know, the SAFE Act bearing down on them. In this particular case, this guy is a military veteran, and he was made an example of. His life was taken away from him. So he has a court appeal on February 28th that I'm asking everybody, try to get the time off from work. Try to go to this. For those who have been listening to this, I was telling you a date in January. Well, the state attorney general has decided that he's going to fight this appeal, and he wants to make sure that this guy's life stays destroyed. So they extended it out to give the state attorney general time to further ruin this guy's life, essentially. So February 28th, 9:00 in the morning. This is going to be at the courthouse in Rochester, New York. It's 50 East Avenue. Please show up. That's all I'm asking. Just show up. Be dressed professionally. Understand that we're going into court, so they expect people to be quiet.
Yeah, no placards or anything like that.
Yeah,
no demonstration tactics.
Exactly. Yeah, this is going to be a courtroom. We want to fill the courtroom. We want them to see that the people of New York have had enough with the SAFE Act. We've had enough of people's lives being taken away from them for having things like a piece of plastic and that sort of thing. So that's really what I'm asking everybody to do. February 28th, 50 East Ave in Rochester, New York. Just show up.
Yeah, it's very important for us to get our priorities straight here, because the truth of the matter is when government wants to wage war on legal gun owners and law-abiding gun owners simply because they have the wrong kind of equipment in their hands, these people are prosecuted with more zeal and more fervor than child molesters are. And it's I'm not kidding about that.
Yeah.
You can research that, and you will find out that the sentences that get handed down just for possession of some article that has not been the subject of any underlying crime whatsoever is dealt with much more harshly in our society these days than some of the the people who perpetrate the worst crimes that permanently disfigure and ruin lives.
Yeah.
And that's sick. That's twisted.
No, it is. It is.
And you can drive to Pennsylvania, 2 hours from here, and be perfectly legal, and there's again, no underlying crime, no ill to being wrought on society whatsoever.
Yeah, no, it's 100% true, and that's one of the reasons we need people to show up and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. So thank you guys so much for joining us here on Radio Free New York. I will catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the WISL stations and Radio Free New York.